Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. And it is 100% dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. Again, you are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you innovate. Holy cow, do you innovate? And you're changing the world and you're changing lives. That's why we celebrate you each and every day. All right, we're going to continue our series in Heroes of Manufacturing, and we've got a great manufacturer on the docket for an interview. So let's get going. All set with me. Okay, back to Heroes of Manufacturing. Go out to heroesofmanufacturing.com. Get involved. You have to get involved. Right now we have 30 manufacturers that are saying yes. They are associations. They are vendors. They are VCs. They are all collaborating on this movement because we need to celebrate the people, the heroes, and the reason why manufacturing is so incredibly spectacular. It was, you know, a movement that was started between Hitachi, Vantara, and Industrial Talk Podcast. And we just wanted to say, hey, let's celebrate these heroes of manufacturing. Let's bring and shine a little light on what they're doing and how they're constantly thinking of others and how they're constantly trying to improve not just, you know, a better product, but improve the lives of everybody around the world. And we're going to have this international platform. So again, you need to get involved. So you go out to heroesofmanufacturing.com. And if you want to nominate somebody, boom, it's there. If you want to participate in some fashion because you're a manufacturer and you want to, you know, bring out, you know, whoever, yeah, that's where you need to go. And if you just want to hear about the great stories in the of just people who have just thought about others, yeah, that's the place to go to as well. As well as the Industrial Talk Podcast, it'll all be out there too as well. So anyway, enough of that. When we start talking about, you know, manufacturing, we also talk about collaboration, right? We talk about innovation. We talk about education. We talk about a level of speed. These interviews just right off the bat hit all of those marks, right? So we're going to be talking to a company called Jergens Incorporated. Northeast Ohio is the location. The two individuals that we are talking about or talking to is Jack Charon. That's S-C-H-R-O-N. And his son, Kurt Charon. And they are just talking about what they had to do because beforehand, you know, once again, the economy was just sort of moving along. Everything was fine. We were all in our little. But now that switch was clicked, and now we got to start doing other things. We got to think differently. And the fine team at Jergens, incredible insights, incredible ability to be able to adapt. They collaborate. They just have started to innovate like nobody's business. And they're doing it with a sense of speed and urgency because they know that they're responsible for not just their company, the people of the company, because manufacturing is people. And then, of course, the communities and the state of Ohio and beyond. So big, big, big shoulders for this particular company. Again, enjoy this interview. His name is Jack Charon. His son is named Kurt. And we're just talking about how did they adapt and who do they want to thank?
I'm Jack Charon. I was born on my dad's birthday, so I ended up being called Jack Charon Jr. So it's kind of a great little handle.
I'm pretty cool.
In a manufacturing company, and I grew up in a small little town called Chagrin Falls, Ohio, little Peanutville. Went off to ROTC, owed our obligation to the Army, served 3 years, lived in Louisiana for 3 years with Uncle Sam, and came back here to the family business in 1974. 78, and been practicing manufacturing ever since 78, so it's been a fun run.
Well, thank you for your service, Jack. Big time, big time. And you were down in Louisiana, and then did you travel around with your service obligation?
I did a little bit. I ended up spending 28 years in the Army between active duty and reserves, and I ended up retiring as a colonel in the United States Army. So that was kind of fun.
Wow, Kurt, it doesn't. Yeah, see, Kurt, it's not good for you because you have to follow that story. You better dazzle me because that story.
Oh, that's a great story.
I better be because you can't bring us down.
Baby. Yeah,
Kurt, give us a little background, a little 411 on who you are.
Well, I've been living up to him for my whole life. So, you know, I'm an engineer, and I've been traveling the world for doing analytics and data science, finance kind of work. And then I came back to the family business about 3 years ago. So, yeah, I can't live up to his stories.
But so where did you go to school?
I got some of my own.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech.
Guys are struggling in football there for a little while.
Yeah, we still
are. How about that for a little trash talking? LSU, baby. LSU.
It's hard compared to the national champs. He's an Ohio boy. You saw that.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you very much. Coming from Ohio, we truly appreciate your generosity down here in Louisiana because he was spectacular. All right. So
he's coming back.
What's that?
He's coming back to Ohio now.
Cincinnati, baby.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. Bengals, please, Bengals, treat him well. He deserves well treatment.
Seems like a nice kid.
Yeah, he. I'm telling you, we were tempted to change the name of Louisiana to Burroughs. It was absolutely and seriously contemplated. Really. So anyway, give us a little background on just your company. Whoever wants to take that question. Jergens, well, manufacturing and efficiency and all that good stuff. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, I'll start out and then Kurt can add to it. We're Jergens Incorporated. We're not the hand lotion, so we'll get that stated right at the top. We get confused for that all the time. We get telephone calls every day asking about our hand cream and what it does to your
breath, really?
Your hands. But we make, we were started in 1942 by my dad and my grandfather, Kurt's grandfather and great grandfather. And, wow. We've been making stuff for work holding, clamping, tooling, everything to make that precision line of manufacturing easier, faster, quick change setups and stuff like that.
Wow. You've seen a lot of changes, baby.
Of other areas.
A lot of changes, a lot of adapting. Yeah.
Some of our big changes came in that we've now manufactured an extremely sophisticated electric screwdriver. And we'll get into that a little bit as it touches in the whole coronavirus thing. And we have operations in Cleveland, Chicago, California, Shanghai, Mumbai.
None in Mandeville, Louisiana, where I'm from.
But we were thinking about, that was my second choice.
Got to tap me on the shoulder for that, baby. Kurt, anything to add to that wonderful explanation?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a lot of our core components we've manufactured for a long time and get into a lot of custom work holding and a lot of custom other feature and functions. So a lot of different things for a lot of people to be able to make their operations work more efficiently.
Okay, so we're going to go into one of the reasons why we're here. We're, the elephant in the room. Of course, we had this global pandemic. It's impacted manufacturing. Manufacturing in general is sort of that silent, powerful partner that sits off in the back that makes things happen that people don't take for granted, right? That's what I look at. That's, you're not up front, you're right there, you just make things happen, and I know that you're there. So let's talk a little bit about what Jergens has done to sort of deal with the realities of the pandemic, and how did you change your manufacturing process to accommodate what took place?
Well, probably the first thing was a combination of what Curtin and I did. As far, we had put together a team, and I'll let Kurt talk about the team, but in order to be a manufacturer in Ohio, our governor shut down almost all manufacturing except for those that were defined as essential businesses. Mm-hmm. And so it became very, very critical for us to go through and be able to create a case. So in case we ever got audited, why did somebody say you're essential? And we went through and said, here are the reasons why we're essential. We're making parts for the healthcare industry, for ventilators, for respirators, and we're making stuff for national defense, and we're making stuff in the energy industry. So, Kurt, maybe you can talk about, because you helped build the case model for the definition of word essential.
Yeah. So, I mean, just that the essentialness of our suppliers or our customers reach back to us saying, hey, we are essential too. So we need to make sure that you as our supplier are going to be able to supply us with these things. And so, I mean, that also added to us being essential for the whole supply chain for medical and defense industries, for sure.
I like the fact that, first off, it's interesting that you had to sort of justify your essential quality or nature to it. But also what fascinates me about the fact that you were able to be nimble enough to be able to respond to the changes that have taken place in the marketplace quickly, right? It's not just Jergens. It's not just it impacts you, but it's all your customers and the individuals that depend on your services and your solutions, and they depend on it, and you worked in collaboration. You know, it truly is a human type of challenge and opportunity to, you know, succeed in that sense. Now, when we start talking about, which just blows me away, it's just like it's a no-brainer. You mentioned briefly about a screwdriver. Now, of course, everybody out there who's listening to this, has a one, you know, I've got a screwdriver that's got a handle, but this is a different screwdriver. Can you explain a little bit about that and why that is so important?
Well, what you're doing, if you're putting together a high-tech product like a ventilator, you don't want to boot an oops on that. There's screwdrivers that can use for putting together your wood fence, and they don't need to, that's not a life and limb risk. If you're putting together something that's going to be used on an aircraft, you're going to put something together used for a medical device, it's life and limb. And so we have that completely defined as a different market. And quite frankly, it was part of our strategy, but this just raised it up to the top of the game. And so these screwdrivers that we make are extremely sophisticated. They will shut off as the screw is going down. They will count the number of threads. If it's got 28 threads, it'll count 27, slow down, stop it, and then put that last little bit of inertia torque in for that 28th thread. If it meets resistance, it will go down, hit the resistance, and back off, and then go back in and install it. These are all done in microseconds with the transducer on the front end of the screwdriver. So where it became critical was for the ventilator folks. They needed to get these things out ASAP. They need quality product. So we gave them our screwdrivers. They're not exactly your basic Home Depot or Lowe's screwdriver. These go at about $7,000 to $8,000 per screwdriver. So, and the reason why, it's got so many cross performance expectations built into the screwdriver so that you can rely on it if you're putting together a little micro ventilator or a micro respirator for somebody.
Did you have let's just be real here. The demand for respirators definitely increased. I mean, beyond any expectation or any planning from a manufacturing point of view. So did you have some in inventory? Probably a combination of both. Did you have to gear up your manufacturing line to be able to say, okay, we got to do more?
Well, I think it's a yes. We had the sources for the circuit boards. We have circuit boards in stock. We did have to go and queue up our suppliers to let them know that they now become essential because your circuit board is directly related to this assembly. We then had to change the work schedules for the whole product. And by the way, our governor didn't want us working here either. He wanted our office people working at home. And so that was also simultaneously being changed. Kurt, maybe you can talk about you what you did in regards to the work at home so we can make sure, we can make the tool, but we have to have somebody talk to the engineer, get all that together. So it was a continuous set of changing projects out there. Kurt, maybe on the
Yeah, it was definitely a change for us to be working from home, to have a lot of people working from home. I mean, we're a manufacturing environment. We work on site, you know, whether you're in the office or on the in the shop floor, you know, it's typically the way we've always done it. So now to send almost 40% of our workforce home was certainly a change. So we had to line up a lot of VPNs and get everybody access and get everybody set up to be able to remotely do their work. And so we, you know, I worked from home for several years early on in my career. And so we had meetings just to talk about, hey, how do we work from home? What's the best ways? How can we do that? And we're on Zoom right now. We got a lot of Zoom licenses for everybody. And one of the amazing things for me was, you know, when we used to have video conferences, I did everything I could to not turn my video on. And now with Zoom, it seems like everybody's, you know, more comfortable with the video being on, being able to see people. Maybe it's just the connection because we're not in the office at all. And so being able to see people, talk to people, have those kind of connections has really been important.
That has been such an that aha moment where we've got proximity, right? The silver lining for me as the host of Industrial Talk is the fact that beforehand people struggled with Zoom. And so I'd always have to go through the process of getting them on Zoom to get on the interview and do all the stuff. It doesn't happen anymore. You guys just popped on Zoom and you're one of many that just like, yeah, I got Zoom. I know what I do. It's not a big deal. Well, you guys rock.
What was interesting, Kirk, because we knew we went from actively working in the building to very next week, we had to send people home. And so it was going to be a shock on their system. And Kurt, having had experience working from home in his prior investment life, you know, you don't volunteer at a small company, you get volunteered. And so volunteered to teach the classes on that. And he said, one of the things you have to be most afraid of is the refrigerator because it sits right down the hall from you. And unlike the office, you walk down there, you get a Coke, you get some food. And, you know, Kurt was giving a warning sign when you go working from home that be careful, this scary thing called the refrigerator is out there calling you every half an hour to come in visit you.
Well, see, I was committed to the COVID-25 plan as opposed to, I just went right past 19 and on into 25 pounds, baby. That's how committed I was. Big time. Wow. A friend of mine said, hey, you know what tastes good? Barbecue chips and a ham sandwich. And I said, you know what? It does. And I was committed from that point on. Now I'm back into, you know, exercising the way I need to exercise. All right. So you brought up an interesting point associated with that, and that's the people part. Because all of a sudden in manufacturing, we are all wonderful and warm and fuzzy, and we like to continue to go down we're very process-oriented, right? Now all of a sudden, yesterday was fine. Today, somebody flipped the switch, and we're all just, you know, what's going on? How did your valuable team sort of deal with that rapid change?
Well, the first thing I did is I thought, okay, we at the most senior part of the management team, we've got to have our act together. What you see is the act together, and we're behind the scenes just running like heck to try and catch up. We created what we call the Jurgens Corona Victory Team, and Kurt kind of liked it because VT ended up being the last two letters of Victory Team. So
did you make the logo purple? Please.
Maroon. Maroon.
All right, continue.
Yeah, what we did is we created a victory team, and we knew it full well that we weren't going to be able to have physical meetings, so we had to immediately shift to Zoom meetings. So every other day, we were having a Zoom meeting for an hour to go over what came out, and as you know, the regulations were changing. Every one of the 50 states were changing. Every governor was coming out with a different program. We have operations in different locations, so we had to try to keep up with everything out there. So we created a victory team, and one of the things that you were asking about, who should we be thanking? Well, our employees for being receptive to it, but our HR folks were very supportive. I know Kurt worked with our safety members out there on in regards to it. So I don't know if you want to chat about what you thought. Kurt became the facilitator for all Jurgens Corona Victory Team meetings, and he got baptism under fire as far as creating every moving agenda. So I don't know if you want to talk about how we went about
I mean, what Yeah, one of the things, I mean, I think working remotely that we had to also get our hands on was organizing meetings was very different. You know, having a set agenda is much more important. Having quick follow-ups ways from everything is very important because you're not on the hallway and being able to follow up real quick with people. So we had all of our HR directors and coordinators, as well as all of our general managers, finance people in that meeting my dad, Jack, was talking about. And, you know, one of the people that was very influential in all of that was Elise Allen, our safety director. She was on the ball all the time, you know, able to jump in whenever we needed it. For Good Friday, we were always off as a company. We have a holiday of Good Friday. And during that time, we took the advantage of it to have a safety crew come in and preventively clean the entire facility. I mean, we had no cases, no any indications of the virus anywhere near our facility, but we still took that precaution. And she was on site leading that effort, leading that charge. So
one of the things we learned on that, Scott, was that you can't use your paper. You can't have your paper on your counter because when they come in and spray, every single paper got disinfected. So it curled up. Well, everybody came back in into the office and found, wow, they were serious. They actually did every inch of the building.
The paper validated the fact that they cleaned every inch of the facility. Oh, well.
It did.
And then, of course, somebody says, note to self, when they come back in, let's just sort of pull the papers and let's put them in the files. Or what do we got to do?
Well, okay. We're doing it again next week. And we actually wrote it,
baby. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Kaizen the paper.
It was a learning experience from that standpoint, but it worked out well.
Yeah. What fascinates me just the human condition associated with what manufacturing and the people of manufacturing, the heroes of manufacturing have done is adapt quickly. There's some resiliency within it there's a sense of urgency, but what fascinates me is how quickly companies like yours, people in your company are able to accommodate and adapt to changes and then not just adapt, but succeed in whatever that accomplishes. It fascinates me. We're just the human condition. We're quite resilient. And that is a great example of how you're going to come out better in the long run. And I just, kudos.
What was really, I guess, heartwarming, Scott, was we've been in business 78 years. So we're now fourth generation, and you know, you're always uncomfortable saying, hey, folks, we needed to go above. We need to change things because the world has changed. And you put this message out, and all of a sudden, hands went up. Volunteers came up. We worked two shifts, 5 days a week. Well, guess what? When the governor says we want you to be dispersing your workforce, there's a lot of hours in that week that we weren't working. We weren't working third shift. We weren't working Saturday. We weren't working Sunday. The hands went up and said, boss, we want to work Saturdays. We will work Sundays. We will work third shift. And people volunteered. So we took what was two shifts, 5 days a week, and spread it out over an entire 7 days a week and took it over 24 hours a day. And so it did the social distancing as manufacturing on the plant floor. It was a fantastic.
So with that said, with that glowing, story, very heartwarming.
They're still doing it.
Yeah. See, who's your manufacturing hero? Just lay it out there. Who is it?
My manufacturing hero? Mm-hmm. Well, probably Deming, as far as the whole concept of why you want to continuously improve out there.
No, Deming. Just FYI, that's the first time I've heard Deming. That's great.
You see the color of the hair? I know who. Yeah.
See, he was. Well, I don't have hair, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, well, I don't have much, but the idea behind that is continuous improvement. And in this particular case, you're getting thrown up a constraint, and you got up under the theory of constraint. And the other one, as far as the goal is another one that I pointed out. And I think one of the things that we did when we did our kickoff event, because we literally went from operational to having to make a change from the governor literally immediately. So the very next day, we brought everybody together. We're going to have 100 people from each group, and they're going to come in together. in between the time we made that declaration, they cut it down to 50 people within the hour. And so we had to revamp the entire program.
Oh,
and
wow.
Before we could actually make the pitch. So I made, instead of two pitches, I ended up making six pitches because that's what we had to do. But we had posters from the Second World War in the pitch room. So because we were founded in 42, we were making parts for the Hellcats and the Wildcats. So I had posters received from Pratt Whitney, and I had posters from Norman Rockwell that they sold the war bonds right next to me. And we made that, we laid out the picture that they were fighting a visible enemy in 1942. Today, this same company is fighting an invisible enemy, and we're going to get through it the same way.
I'm inspired.
And those posters are upstairs.
And you just dropped me being a World War II buff, when you just said Hellcats, Wildcats, and you were part of that, I pretty much shifted to, wow, that's very cool. So we'll have another conversation as a result of that.
Well, you have the World War II Museum right down the street.
Yeah, I go there. I love it. I wander around. Oh, my father-in-law, he passed away, but he was on Saipan.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
can I tell him about your grandfather?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say my grandfather flew B-52s. And
B-17s.
B-17s. I apologize. B-17s. I
was going to say, what? B-17?
Yeah. Freudian slip. Yeah, and he had several close encounters, several planes go down, but he survived everything, and he landed one plane with no landing gear because he said he wasn't going to eject if he couldn't take his whole crew with him. So
that's just amazing. See?
What made it really neat on this, Scott, was the pictures of the war bonds. You could see that was a picture of a soldier who was 19, 20, 20 years old, 21 years old, and the people in the room, when we're talking about fighting this virus, they could actually say, hey, I get it. Those 19-year-olds had no idea what they're going to experience, and we have no idea what we're going to experience in these next 6-8 weeks. And they all signed up to volunteer Saturdays and Sundays.
You guys are awesome, man. We got to wrap it up. I am so sorry, man. Look at the – you obliterate the time, and I blame you guys. That's what I blame it. It's not my fault anymore. I blame you guys. All right. Hey, are you guys active out on LinkedIn? Your stat card says you guys are pretty. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, can they go through LinkedIn or the best way to go through your website? Somebody, talk to me.
Just come to my email to me, but Kurt's LinkedIn. I've got a LinkedIn too, but I prefer to talk really one-on-one to somebody.
Got it. What I'm going to do, listeners out there, I'm going to wrap this up on the other side. You know I'm going to. I'm going to have all the contact information. And there's no excuse not to contact these gents because, wow, they got a lot of passion. Thank you for being on the Industrial Talk Podcast. But more importantly, thank you for your commitment to manufacturing and the people and your leadership, everything associated with that. I'm honored to have you on this particular show.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, guys. And once again, you listeners out there, we're going to wrap it up on the other side because you need to contact these individuals. So don't go away. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Again, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast as we highlight the heroes of manufacturing. And as you can tell, Jack and Kurt with Juergens, definitely. And the team at Juergens, of course, fit into that category. They're just dedicated to doing whatever they need to do in this real challenging time, not just from a marketing perspective, but also from a manufacturing point of view. So thank you to Juergens and the team of Juergens. Now I'm gonna just continue to hammer because we're growing our manufacturing base, people who will want to participate in this Heroes of Manufacturing. Once again, we've got over 30 manufacturers, associations, vendors, and beyond, and it's going to continue to grow. Now go out to heroesofmanufacturing.com. Get involved. Follow us out on Facebook. Follow us on LinkedIn. Follow us out on Twitter. It's all there. You can also go to industrialtalk.com And there's a page there for all of the heroes of manufacturing big time, where we just celebrate, because it is a people story. Yeah, manufacturing has equipment and all that good stuff, but it always gets down to the people. All right, you listeners, be bold, be brave, dare greatly, never stop to innovate, always collaborate. Thank you very much for what you do and who you are. Be safe, and we'll be back with another great interview shortly.